Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 94 for Thursday, April 26th, 2012. Welcome back to the Android Central Podcast. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host of this little thing and the editor of the site by the same name. That would be androidcentral.com. And we're back. We took last week off, right? We didn't do a podcast. Did you guys do one without me?
Negative.
Okay, good to know. Nope. I still have a job. That's nice. So welcome back. If it's your first time joining us, we do this live most Thursday nights, sometimes Thursday nights. Just kind of depends. Especially in the summer season, we start getting lazy. But we got a lot to talk about right now, so let's just get into it. From the site, we have Jerry Hildenbrand.
Howdy, everybody. What's happening?
And from the Android Central forums, we have Corey Streeter.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
And from Manchester, England, we have Alex Dobie.
Hey, everyone.
And the man with the ginormous microphone, for those of you watching live or watching the recorded version, Mickey Papillon.
Good evening.
So you guys miss me? I'm sorry I was gone last week.
I didn't miss you. I saw you.
That's true. So you want to talk about that first so we get that out of the way? So I was in Seattle last week for, I wasn't sure how super secret it was going to be, but I was there for kind of a get-together with a bunch of journalists. HTC brought us all up, and a lot of it was on the record, a lot of it was off the record. Full disclosure, they paid my way up there, so I kind of went up really not having any intentions in writing anything, and I think the only two posts I did were one on the 1X case, which, you know, whatever, and one kind of shooting down a couple things that were said. It was really funny. So, like, I'm in this room just full of brilliant people, like writers I respect very much. And a lot of them I've known for a long time, too. But it was weird. Like, you get up there and somebody would say something and posts start going up and half of them were wrong. And it's like, no. Specifically, we got one of the, I'm trying to remember. It was on the record, right? So we got, like, a really good walkthrough of kind of the life cycle of a smartphone from concept to birth to everything in between, and saw a lot of prototypes that, you know, stage along the way in the process. And, you know, we're talking 8, 9, 10, 12 prototypes, you know, how many ever it takes. And at some point, a line gets thrown out. Maybe it might not even been in that session, actually. I think it was a different session where they start talking about, well, why don't you have bigger batteries? And in the testing process, they'll make, you know, 3-4, you know, prototype, you know, whatever. They'll make a bunch of prototypes. You know, here is an HTC One X with what the actual phone has an 1800 milliamp hour battery, right? Or they made one with a 3000 milliamp hour battery and gave it to people to test, right? They get, you know, pull people over in a mall or however they do it. I don't even know. And, you know, they said, well, which one do you like? And these people basically said, oh, we like the thinner one better. And somehow that gets translated to HTC went for thinner batteries over, you know, went for thinner phones over battery life. And it's like, well, that's not really what they were talking about. So that one got kind of pulled out of context a little bit. So when you see all those headlines saying that, it's not really what they said. I was in the room. So was everybody else. I'm not sure how that got twisted. But just a really, really good couple days. Really good conversation. All the stuff that everybody talks about in the forums and in the chat here and in comments on the blogs, you know, things you like about HTC phones and sense and design and all this stuff. I and everybody else there, we got to feedback to HTC just directly. And it was very candid. I love having off the record talks with manufacturers and carriers, and you can just talk. It's really what makes this job fun, is when you can just sit down and be like, here's what we like, here's what we don't like, and they can say, well, here's why we did it, and things start making sense. Now, the fun side effect of this is I now have a much better understanding of what the other manufacturers do, too, and the process they go through. So when we see these leaked Samsung phones or leaked Motorola phones coming, I'm going to be a little more skeptical now. I'm going to look at them and be like, is that really a leaked phone, or is it just one of these early prototypes that somehow got out and really has, you know, no intention of being the finished product? I don't know. Yeah. So, you know, the short version is it was a hell of a week. Just had a lot of fun. Met more good people, some I hadn't met before. Had just some really good conversations, and I think it's going to, you know, just, it's going to make for better coverage on the site. Hopefully it's going to help HTC make better phones too. Though I, you know, think I've made no secret that I'm fairly impressed with the 1S series and Sense 4, but we got to talk, you know, a lot about Sense 4 and things we don't like and, you know, things like that. So, any questions? No? Nobody?
Yeah. When is my XXX getting upgraded to XXX?
We didn't talk a whole lot about updates. I mean, look, and there's not a lot to say there that we haven't already said before, right? Like, you know, HTC gets the code, and this is stuff we know for a long time. You know, HTC gets the code once it's released, once Google puts it, you know, in, I guess, do they pull it from Git, Jerry, like everybody else? I mean, I guess they do.
I don't know. They might, or they may have a private repo. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I would think so. But you know, they don't get it early. Nobody gets it early. The Nexus manufacturer gets it, and that's it. So, you know, I mean, they do this stuff as quickly as they can. Actually, Jay, let's talk about that real quick, because we were talking earlier, JBQ, who I guess he runs AOSP or is responsible for pushing the, I don't think he runs it. He's responsible for pushing the code.
I call him the gatekeeper.
Right. So, and he's done this before, just had a really, really interesting kind of thread on Google Plus. I forget when the last one was, when he was talking about, was it when 404 was pushed? Or 403, I don't remember. Yes.
When the OTA went out for 404.
Right, and he had said basically he sees that it takes about 8 months from the time that they push code to the time that you start seeing it in devices. And so today he said, well, hey, look at that. Sony was able to push out ICS in 5 months. But here's why. And why was that, Jerry?
Oh, see, you put me on the spot. Why don't you tell me why it was? Because I don't have it open here in front of me.
Because apparently Sony contributed a lot of patches.
Oh, yeah.
Sony Ericsson had a load of code contributed back to AOSP back in the day, last year.
He goes on to say
about how well-written their patches are and that they're, you know, they've got, I don't want to say they've got Android developers or they have Linux developers, but they have developers who have gotten very familiar with the way things work, and they're doing quality work there.
Really kind of funny, considering it's, you know, Sony Ericsson that used to never update phones or launched. It launched the X10 like two versions behind, and so I mean,
well, they're having issues of their own now, aren't they, with their new flagship phone Gingerbread, all their new phones this year running Gingerbread. So,
but if they're able to update faster than everybody else, then maybe it's not a completely horrible thing.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So, but that was interesting. It was a really good. Really good read. I don't know if we're going to write anything about it. Maybe I'll put it in the column this week or something. But I love when Googlers will give us kind of an inside look at things like that. And I kind of hesitate, you know, wanting to write about that because that's their story to tell. Let them tell it. Go find them on Google Plus and read it. It's kind of my...
Yep, and they love to hear the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's part of our job, but I also enjoy just listening and hearing what those guys have to say. And they're very personable people.
Oh, yeah. And I've learned so much just from reading those. Yeah, I understand half of it, maybe. But it's good. It's really good stuff. So that was Seattle. And probably even almost more important is I was able to buy Corey a couple beers while I was up there. So
that was so fun.
I think I yanked him out of a hangout to do it. I was like, dude, get to the bar.
Got to play with the GSM. Version of the 1X.
You got to see the 1X and the 1S finally. What did you think of them?
It was beautiful. It's I'm not easily impressed. It takes a lot to impress me. I'm pretty picky, and I just picked it up and the screen, I mean, everything was just really amazing about it. Really crisp, like text, and kind of wanted it.
That display.
Okay, I got to switch carriers again.
That display, once you use it, it's really tough to go back. But I tell you, I sent the T-Mobile review unit we have to Jerry today, so he's going to get to play with it for a little while. That form factor is just so sexy. It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm holding the GSM one right now. It's it's very well built. Very well built. Oh, it feels good. Was this one dead? Oh, my GSM one's dead. I got to charge it. Yeah, and battery life's pretty good on them, too. That's the one thing. I can't wait to get to play with the AT&T 1X because I want to see what Crate does in, you know, an 1800 milliamp hour situation. I tell you, I keep thinking about one thing that's been going through my head a lot this week has been the difference between battery life and battery capacity, and how I think people can keep confusing the two. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, it's three things, really. It's the capacity of the battery, it's the efficiency of the hardware, and it's the efficiency of the software, and all three contribute to the actual battery life that you get on the device.
So when you talk about, like, this phone has good battery life, well, are you talking about it has a bit, like, go back to the Razer Max, right? Like, oh, it has great battery life. Well, no, it has a huge battery.
But it has great battery life because it has a huge battery.
Right, and, you know, it's got decent battery life. It doesn't totally turn through it, but, you know, LTE is it uses a lot of battery. It's power hungry. So, I don't know, I've been thinking about that this week. We're already getting a lot of questions. I've been living in the forums for the past 2 weeks. If you haven't seen me writing a lot on the blog, that's why. And one of the big questions, you know, everybody has is, which is better? And I hate using that word, but that's what everybody's using. Which is better, Tegra 3 or this Snapdragon S4 Crate? And I don't know. I really don't. It's tough because the 1X and the 1S are totally different phones. So there's that.
The 1X, so the one thing I did notice is usually when the screen gets bigger, the phone gets slower, right?
Sure.
Every phone I've ever had that happens.
Yeah,
the 1X didn't do that. I mean, it was really smooth and fluid, and it displayed everything really quickly. And so that really impressed me with that phone.
That's still kind of a factor, and it's way less noticeable than it used to be. But if you have a 1S and a 1X right next to each other, the X is ever so slightly slower in the launcher.
Alex, I hate you.
And there's another area where I'm super picky. I hate just that slightest bit of lag, and it just didn't really. I hear what you're saying because I have the two next to each other as well. But
yeah, if you want to buy a 1X, don't look at it next to the 1S, because if you play with the launcher side by side, you'll see lag that you will never ever be able to unsee.
You'll also see a much different screen quality as well.
Yeah,
too.
Pixels.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I mean the screen is way, way better than the X, and I guess that's the other side of that argument.
I really didn't mean to start off with the HTC stuff this week, because we've been talking about it just nonstop.
Sure, yeah.
But this is a big deal for them, especially in talking to them. I mean, this is their brand for the next year. It's HTC One. And I think the message is still getting a little muddied, because you won't hear them talk about individual devices. You'll just hear them talk about HTC One. And from a macro perspective, I guess that makes sense. But from kind of where we're coming from and the way we have to relay it to readers, that's when it starts to get a little confusing, because I just can't say, oh, yes, go buy an HTC One. Because,
if you look at phones like the Incredible 4G and the Evo 4G LT, they're basically HTC One phones in all but name.
Right,
you have everything on there, but you have an HTC One phone, even though the branding isn't there.
Yeah, and actually, I talked to them about that a little bit, because, and I've said this on this podcast before, I think, when we were at the event in New York. I mean, the speech we got was exactly the same speech we got in Mobile World Congress at the One announcement, and even then at the One announcement, they launched into the thing like they didn't know that there were going to be three phones. They were speaking about it as if there was only one phone. There is only HTC One. And to HTC, that's the way it's going to be. There is only HTC One. There just happens to be three phones. And for me, that's confusing. I think that's going to confuse people.
That's going to confuse us.
Well.
But to the end user, if the interface is the same, the way they mm-hmm. work with the phone, mm-hmm. They can go buy the HTC One. You know, and their sister on a different carrier can buy an HTC One, and they both work the same way.
Okay.
They kind of do and they kind of don't. The difference in that situation is the 1V, and there are a lot of differences with 1V mm-hmm. where some things have been scaled back and quite noticeably compared to the S and the X.
I'm sure,
They've all been confusing me for a long time now. Galaxy, Optimus.
Yeah.
Evo. There are differences, but it's like, God, it gets confusing. Keeping track of all those.
So that's kind of where we are in HTC land. So what, the 1S is out on T-Mobile now. You can go buy it, and you should buy it, I think. It's a really good phone. And in fact,
I touched one this morning.
I think I like that gray finish better than the Micro oxidation, actually. It just feels a little better. Feels, I don't know what it is about the MAO that I don't like, but it almost feels like it's going to flake off. Not flake off, sorry. I was yelling at people in the forums about that this morning. It's not a coating. It's not a coating. It's, you know, it's...
So wouldn't you say, because to me it felt like the most solid bone I felt since the original Nexus.
Oh, it's a, like, yeah, no, totally. It's built very, very well. There's just something about the MAO coating that I don't quite like. Like, if somebody gave me one, I wouldn't, you know, send it back. But I think I prefer the traditional finish a little better.
I think it's kind of matte and almost a little bit rough, isn't it? It's,
right, right.
You know, it's sort of almost on that far edge of being very, 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 very matte.
Yeah.
If you kind of get what I mean by that.
And I've said this a million times, the 720p LCD2 display on the 1X is just incredible. I would not buy the 1S because of that. I think the 1S is still very good. The display isn't as good, but it's still good. And it's still better than, you know, God forbid.
The interesting thing with the 1S screen is that the brightness and the color quality is way better than a lot of Super AMOLEDs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take one and you compare it next to the Galaxy Nexus and you have both screens at high brightness, the 1S actually has higher brightness. It actually has better color quality,
right?
Even though the resolution is that much lower.
So you can get the 1S on T-Mobile now. The 1X goes on pre-sale, what is it, May 6th or May 7th? I forget which, on AT&T.
Sixth.
Or wait, no, it's on pre-sale now. You can buy it the 6th, right? Is that it?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so some people have had them delivered already.
And then the Evo goes on pre-sale the 7th. That's what I'm thinking. But we don't have a release date for that, so we're getting there. But the other phone that this question is killing me. Should I wait for the Galaxy S3? Hell if I know. I have absolutely no idea. No,
it's a good question because that's the exact question I basically asked Phil.
Right. so Mickey, let's segue into another story first. So Google has decided to start selling phones again. No, sorry, Google now has a device store. I'm saying with air quotes. Which leads you, you know, to obviously believe it'll be more than just phones, right? And you know what? It might be more than just tablets. Think about that. So Mickey emails me and Jerry yesterday morning. He's like, "Hey guys, so I know I've bought the Galaxy Nexus like 5 times already, but it's only $400 and it's unlocked and it's pentaband. It's the way it should be.
Yeah.
What should I do?" I'm like, you know, you're gonna buy one.
Yeah.
You already bought it, didn't you?
It's a hard proposition, right? I mean, this is a phone that was $700 or more when it first came out, and it's been just consistently dropping. And I think $400 is probably the basement for it, at least until the next Nexus comes out. Although could be totally wrong. But then you think, so we're going to see something from Samsung. You know, could that check more boxes? I mean, in the 12 megapixel rumored camera alone would make me choose that over a Nexus. I don't care. I don't care if about TouchWiz. I'll deal with it. I'll figure it out. That camera on the Nexus is almost like, well, I'm just not even going to use it. You may as well just put a piece of tape over it because it's that.
Okay,
good.
So you haven't haven't bought one yet? You didn't answer You didn't answer the question. Did you buy one?
No, I have not bought one yet because you told me to wait.
Yeah, it's a week away. We might as well just wait.
That's right. Exactly.
It's going to be tough. The screens are going to be different too, right? I mean, the quality will be the same.
Who knows? We really don't know what the screen's going to be. The rumor is it's the same as the Nexus, but again, even if it is the same, it's not necessarily going to look the same. The color balance is going to be different. Maybe the brightness is going to be higher. Right. So, yeah.
I guess maybe I'm not understanding where. I mean, I understand that there may be a little resolution difference between, say, the HTC One X and the Galaxy Nexus, but
there's not a resolution difference.
There's not a resolution difference.
Right.
I think that's why.
I don't know. I've looked at the Galaxy Nexus, and I think the screen is great. You just have to have the brightness up high enough, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. I fired it back up yesterday because I put the TacJu, Jerry? So they released, like, it's a new software version on this one that they're selling in the store, and basically I'm convinced it's a big FU to probably Sprint because it allows them to put Google Wallet into it from the outset. And so you can flash this on to just your normal Galaxy Nexus as long as it's not Verizon, right? So I flashed it onto mine, and it was the first time I've used it in a while, actually. Poor thing. And it keeps sucking through battery. I got to figure out what's going on there. Especially because there's no SIM card in it, and maybe that's its problem. But, you know, the display is not as bad as I remember, especially compared to the 1X, because I'm using the 1X all day.
It's good until you put it side by side next to something. I think the weird thing with the Nexus is how it turns into, especially with a white background at high brightness levels, how it turns into this kind of weird grayish faded yellow kind of color.
What I first noticed with it, and that was only when I had the auto brightness on. Once I turned that off and just turned the brightness all the way up, I didn't see any real discernible weird colorness to it. So maybe I just have not seen how good the 1X screen is, and maybe that's why I just don't have a comparison.
And actually, I think the 1X defaults the auto brightness too high.
It does, and actually on the retail units, that's been lowered since that patch came out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because actually, I said that last week, and I saw some heads nod like HTC knew that. So.
Yeah, and it was way too high off the bat, and that's one of the reasons why the original firmware had terrible battery life, because the screen was draining loads of battery.
Okay. I need to find out what's going on with the software in the one I have. Like, am I going to get another update? Because you're on 128 now, right? And I'm on 128.
I was before I gave mine back to Vodafone.
Yes. So I'm still on 127, and I don't know if we're going to get updated to...
I guess you'll just need an RUU or something, won't you?
Something. We'll see.
Mm.
No updates available. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to Samsung stuff. We talked about this a little bit in the Mobile Nations podcast this week, and I think the guys finally asked me, Phil, what is your manufacturer of choice? What is your favorite manufacturer? And I'll tell you exactly what I told them. My favorite manufacturer is the one that I'm absolutely not going to tell you right now.
It's very cute. It's a very cute trick he does where he uses the microphone. And look at that. Now he's back.
And look, I mean, that's why I like that. Yeah, see. So, no, I've bounced back and forth through a lot of them. So I'm actually very excited to kind of not move on from this HTC stuff because I really have enjoyed it. But I'm really, really looking forward to see what everybody else comes up with. I think it's going to be an exciting year. So I'm going to be in London Tuesday night. I fly over and we'll catch up with Alex and some other people in England on Wednesday and have some beers and then go play with some phones. So it's going to be kind of badass. Have I mentioned this job, Rox? Once or twice? Because it does. So Wednesday, here's the deal. Help me out with times, Alex. So Wednesday, what is it, like 7, 8 o'clock London time? So it'll be like 1 or 2 in the afternoon?
I think the event is at 7, so yeah. Okay, it's going to be like early afternoon Eastern time.
Yeah. And then we might try to podcast. We'll see. We'll have to see what the data's like in the hotel, and we're actually staying right next door, so that's good. But... we might podcast, we might not, but we're going to have a whole lot of stuff going on. It's going to be so much fun. So if you're in England, hit us up next week. Maybe we'll even tell you where we are and you can come have a beer and say hi. That's always fun. Anything else on the Galaxy S3? Do we think it's going to be called Galaxy S3?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's going to be called Galaxy S3.
Okay. Yeah. So we've seen, what was that leaked today? A manual? A technical manual?
Oh, God. We every day it seems we have at least two or three new leaks. Today was a manual and some other stuff. We had a leak at the front and the back of what's supposedly the Galaxy S3, along with a spec list which didn't quite match up. And we had the chassis that we saw had physical buttons. So, again, what do you make of that? Because we've seen demo units out in the wild with virtual buttons on the screen. So, again, doesn't quite add up.
I still go back to the fact that Samsung releases 5,000 phones in a calendar year, and they can't all be whatever.
This isn't a different phone. They put out so many versions of this thing, and you know, there have been rumors that there have been different versions of it in development, different teams in Samsung competing to see what, you know, do we want one with buttons, do we want...
I guarantee you, no, see, I mean, what have I been saying? I guarantee you that's been happening, right? I mean, especially from what I saw in the prototype process, it's like... Absolutely. So I have no idea what to believe anymore.
This past week, we've seen a buttonless version and we've seen a button version.
And one might well end up as the Galaxy S3 or whatever, and one might be the Galaxy S Advanced 2, or God forbid they totally keep screwing with that name. Man, I tell you, HTC has totally ruined me for leaks now. after, you know, learning the process the way we did. And even then, you know, we got the, you know, just very quick version of it. But it's like, oh, man, I have no idea what's real. And it's Inception. I have no idea which world is real. I need a little top to spin. Hang on. Hey, you know what I did do this week? I totally shouldn't show this to you. Can I show, if I show you guys this phone, do you promise not to tell anybody? Chat room, promise? Because I got this.
Yeah, you know there's like a 3-minute lag right now.
I don't care.
We have no idea what you've just showed us.
Okay. I picked up a Q9H this week.
Oh, that phone.
Yes, that phone. The phone with the best keyboard. And it's backlit. And it's awesome. And it's thicker than I remember.
There's probably people on this pod or listeners that aren't old enough to even know what you're
talking
about.
Oh my God, they totally are.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is.
Oh, the dude left pictures on it too. Let's see what we got. So I bought this off somebody in the forums for $30. And RY, if you're out there, thanks, dude. Oh, hey, took pictures of people. Nice. No, yeah. Oh, that's sexy pose right there. Yes. And actually, don't think I didn't notice. God, I forgot that like Windows Mobile is actually good in this form factor. Let's see. Contacts, Amanda, hug and kiss. Hey, would you blow me? Jack me off. Joe Smith.
Wait, what?
Nice.
I did not see that coming.
I'm going to call these guys. No, I forgot like Windows Mobile actually isn't horrible in this form factor. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah,
it is. Well, I mean, compared to what else we had, like...
Oh, that was good.
Oh, and actually, it was funny because we talked a little bit about the origin of Sense back then, and it was always, yeah, Windows Mobile sucked. We had to do something about it. So, good on HTC. Oh, man. Oh, I missed this phone. Hey, Bluetooth's already turned on. How about that? Sorry. Enough of my Q9H. Google Drive. Should we talk Google Drive? Anybody using it?
Yes.
Heck yeah.
Yeah?
I tried to use it.
All right, let's start with Mickey, because I think Mickey's actually using it willingly.
I am using it willingly. In fact, I'm really liking it, and I was one of the I don't know if I want to say the smart ones or just the dumb luck having folks that actually bought in to Google's additional storage prior to the announcement. I've got the 80 gigs for $20 a year that I was using for Picasa, and actually as we're doing this show, I'm going through and manually deleting all my albums off Picasa because I don't need them there anymore. But what I did is I've started the upload of all my photos over to it. And I like it better because it's a full folder structure versus just the way that Picasa does it, which is kind of wonky. And I'm realizing that as I'm going through these, seeing all these weird... Anyway, so I'm liking it. I'm uploading all of my photos up to there. That is likely the only thing I'm going to use it for, other than, of course, the Docs integration, because, of course, Google Docs is now Google Drive. So I have all of that in there, but I'm really excited that I don't have to now manually export all of my documents every once in a while to have them backed up on my computer. But I can now do the Google Drive for my photos, which is great because I've been looking for a good online backup solution for photos for quite a while. Now, the one thing I will say that is actually kind of a bummer that Dropbox does that Google Drive does not do, and that's the LAN sync. And for someone who's got a lot of or multiple computers that they're trying to keep in sync, the fact that you can't have it just do it over your local network is something that I just kind of took for granted with Dropbox. And if I have to upload 50 gigs or 60 gigs of photos and then download 50 or 60 gigs of photos onto every other computer that I want them backed up to, you're doing it wrong. Let's figure out a way to be able to do that. So hopefully that'll be an enhancement that they do soon.
How does it work with something like, well, I was going to say Google Plus, but I'm not sure I want like all 10 gigabytes of photos I have in Google Plus.
Yeah, it's not integrated yet, right? I mean, it's kind of a separate thing that eventually I'm assuming they're going to tie it all together. Now, I hope that for everyone's sake that it's all done in a way that's private, you know, so you're not having to deal with going in and marking all of your folders as private. I'm guessing that that's not what they would do, but you never know. There has been some controversy over the terms and conditions and what it means, what they say, and I would like to get some opinions on this. I'm personally someone who I know going into this that, yes, Google is going to have access to these photos. I don't expect them to do anything with them, but In the future, I suppose they could if they
Hang on. Allow myself to quote myself.
Yes, please.
On Google Plus. In fact, I'll put a link in the chat because I'm feeling a little narcissistic tonight. And that is, quick, everybody freak out about the Google Drive terms of service before they get changed from the boilerplate. and that's all it is. Actually, Neil A. Patel did a really nice job at The Verge of explaining all this. And this is not new. This happens every time a new service like this comes out.
Yeah, and the big example was Chrome, when Chrome was first released like 4 years ago.
Oh my God, Google has access to all your stuff because you're giving it access to all your stuff, and it needs to be able to move it around servers and internally.
It needs to be able to index it, which is why it needs to create derivative works of it.
Right. So
thumbnails are a derivative work, and they need license to modify. If you don't give it to them, you can't ever get it back.
The short version is no, don't worry about it. Period.
Well, it's the same basic terms of service that everybody else is using.
Yeah.
Right. And that was the...
Go look what Neil read.
Yeah.
Neil's a lawyer. We're not a lawyer. If you're not a lawyer, shut up about terms of service. Let's be a lawyer.
And patents, but that's another story. Yeah, no, the short version is I'm not worried about it. I'm not sure how much I'm going to use it just yet. I need a better way to do photos, right? So I've got this giant photo folder on like three places here in my house, and it's actually backed up still in Carbonite, which I haven't even bothered putting on new computers lately, and I really should. I need a better way to do it, and I'm just not I just don't know that I want all that stuff in the cloud. And that's weird for me to say, right? Because as much as I do publicly, as much as I do in the cloud, there's stuff in there that I don't necessarily just want floating around, and although it's floating around in Carbonite, I guess I need to get over that. So, I mean, when people have concerns, I completely understand, and I'm a little mixed on my opinions as well, but, Do I need more space? I need to go buy more space.
I guess that's a big thing, that space is so much cheaper than competing services, although the base storage is still only 5 gigs.
So you still have to download and install, like, a desktop client if you want to use it like folders.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I've used 0.01 gigabytes of 5 gigabytes. I got a lot of room. Oh, I have one unsyncable file. Is that like... Oh, it's called Titanic 2. I'm just kidding. You get it?
Oh, jeez. That's what I ran into. I was trying to... I thought, okay, I'll just test it out with... have an Ubuntu VM, right? Mm-hmm. Tons of files and folders inside of it. So I was like, it's 3.5 gig. See how that goes. About half of it failed. It wouldn't upload. So, I'm a sugar sink user myself. So I was kind of going in with the expectation. I thought, okay, I can use this as a the pricing is really good. And so I thought, okay, maybe I can use this as a replacement to sugar sink and kind of back everything up on all my computers. And I mean, it sounded like a really good thing, but it doesn't seem to be working out for me so far.
It's still a bit rough around the edges. I'll give it that. And that you'd expect that in something that's just launched a day or so ago. There are things that need to be worked out, kinks that need to be, remedied.
I tell you where I'm really interested to see, and we've been seeing in the past day or so, that they're going to natively integrate this into Chrome OS. And that's where I really see it taking off.
That makes it useful.
Yeah.
That makes it more than just a
Dropbox
drive.
Phone, yeah.
For a Chrome notebook, netbook, whatever you want to call them. And, Ian, actually, I like the Chromebook a lot. I think it's perfect. I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see. Maybe Google's going to finally start selling some of these things.
I know with Google Drive, I'm really counting on Google to do something more than just say, here's space to store files. I can get that anywhere. I could do that here at the house. In fact, instead of paying for extra storage, I just bought a static IP and have an old junk computer here at the house and have terabytes of storage.
Right.
I can do that. I need something more.
You got to figure that out, though. This is like you're nerd. You're a nerd that can figure that out.
You're right. If you want to do it at your house, you have to figure it out. But you can pick up any service to just sync files. I'm hoping Google is forward thinking enough to, let's do something more with it. You've got a login and a client and all these different things are communicating with this central hub on your Google Drive. let's use it to stream video. Let's use it to stream information. Let's do something with it. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, and we have to remind ourselves that Google's in this for the long term. I mean, they're not just going to pump out a Dropbox clone and call it a day, right? I mean, they might do that initially. And actually, they've gone one step further and kind of turned Google Docs into Google Drive, and I still think that's a bad idea as far as naming. Man, yeah. I'm really starting to worry about Google turning into Microsoft when it comes to naming conventions, and Microsoft's just always been horrible.
We've already lost Docs and Market this year.
Right, so. Exactly.
How's that going to go?
Hey, I'm very worried about that. But, I mean, they've already gone one step beyond Dropbox, right? And with Chrome OS, that's a whole other thing that they can do that nobody else can do. So, but they're not just going to put out something that lets you sync folders and that's it, right?
Yeah.
I hope not.
This is like day one, right?
Or right, exactly.
Yes. So, yeah.
When I see all these overarching, you know, six ways that Google Drive can fail or succeed, or it's like, really? You're on day two. Really? You got it all figured out already, do you? You've been in those meetings with Google? You know what these people who are very, very smart and don't write about things for a living? And look, I mean, writing about things for a living is important, but I'm not creating services here. I have no illusions about what I do. You know, it's... Yeah, I'm looking to be impressed, and I really am looking at this, you know, for them to be in the long term.
Their pricing is good too.
Per
gigabyte, it's
well, the pricing had to be good to draw people away from Dropbox.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, that's the obvious thing.
I just got to get it working.
Well, it's not working on Linux yet either. I mean, there is no Linux version. So.
No.
Sorry.
That upsets Jerry, I'm sure.
But I guess at least you've got a fighting chance of there being a Linux version, haven't you, compared to Microsoft or Dropbox or Apple?
I think more importantly here, they've already talked about some sort of native Chrome integration and APIs that other developers can use. That beats the hell out of a Linux client that's just the Windows client wrapped up in Wine.
Right.
And that's what Google does for Linux users.
Oh, really?
Give people the APIs and let somebody build a client for Linux. I am all over that.
So they don't have an OS X or iOS app either, do they?
They have a Mac app. They don't have iOS yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got the Mac one. It's fine. It's not necessarily interesting as far as feature-wise. I mean, if you're used to Dropbox, again, it's missing a few things. Although it does have selective folder sync, which is certainly nice. And it's going, actually my upload is going quick. I think I do have like something like 60 gigs and I'm about halfway done and it's been, you know, a day. So it's not bad.
My other thing is
family.
What's that?
I was just going to say reason number 7, it will fail because Mickey used all the bandwidth.
I think that's you, but okay.
Well, the other thing I'm looking for and isn't there yet is Google Music integration. I'm very anal about how I keep my, for as horrible as my desktop looks, my desktop is a friggin' mess. I'm pretty anal about, you know, keeping track of music and photo, you know, folders. And so I've got this, you know, one big giant MP3 folder that I've been trucking around forever. And it's now living in Google Music mostly. There were like 1,000 songs that wouldn't upload, but you know what? I don't think I've actually missed them. And so my question is, can I upload that now and get all my music into Google Music? And the answer is no.
Nope.
So that's a big kind of gaping hole that I would like to see filled ASAP.
It's the same thing with Picasa. Like I said, I just went through and deleted like 700 albums because it wasn't doing it right. And the reason I did that is because I'm not going to go ahead and use Picasa anymore because Google Drive is now kind of serving the need that I had, and I don't need that duplicated there.
I would be amazed if within a year, either Music or Picasa hadn't been folded into.
Oh yeah, no,
Oh, it will be absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and there's limitations to Picasa. I mean, Google bought it and just kind of like, I mean, they put a little effort into it, but the fact that you can't sync folders over a thousand pictures in it, I mean. That makes about as much sense to me as Google Music only being able to sync 25,000 songs. Like, I know it's going to fit most people's needs, but you're Google.
It's an arbitrary limit, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's just there for the sake of being a limit.
Yeah, and that bugs me, and that's actually why Picasa is bye bye for me. So
you must have a lot of like picture taking moments.
New fathers are funny like that, Corey.
That is very true.
Wait till the second kid, and you're like, hey, look at that. That's cool. And it did the same thing the other one did 3 years ago. We're good. We got that already.
We got that. Yeah.
What else is going on? Hey, Jerry, I've been dumping devices on Jerry left and right. So Jerry reviewed the Transformer Pad TF300 this week.
Yep.
How was
awesome.
It?
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome device.
Better than the Prime? You've got the Prime there.
Well, it's very comparable to the Prime. It's, do you want the little bit better screen and the fancy and sexy aluminum casing, but crappy GPS? If so, get the Prime.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to save a little bit of money by not having the extra oomph to the screen and don't mind having a plastic case, get the TF300. Under the hood, they're basically identical, and as far as performance, they are identical, except for the GPS, which works very well on the TF300. So, I mean, I was amazed that somebody could put out that kind of hardware for that price. It's really, really damn good.
Asus has been impressing over the past year. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Really, really are.
If you're looking for, you know, a new Android tablet, dude, make sure you look at it. I mean, seriously, get in there and look at it good and hard and you know, let it factor into your decision, because I was very impressed.
I think we need to ship a pad phone to Jerry, complete with pen mic and all that stuff.
Yeah, we might have to. I've only sent him like two more devices this week, so.
Yeah.
Hey, something I want to talk about real quick is this damn Facebook update, and I just really bit my tongue back at what I wanted to say, because I understand there are kids out there listening. And there's this new trend now where you install one app and you get three icons for things. I'm not happy about this. Now, this isn't new. Part of me, at first, I was real close to writing something that said, hey, Google, make this stop. And then I remembered something. Name the Google app that does the exact same thing.
Well, exactly. Google Plus has had Messenger there since day one, hasn't it?
Right. So it's the same principle. But so Facebook updated. So now you have the Facebook icon, you have a camera icon, and you have a Messenger icon. Or Messenger messaging. I forget exactly what it's called. And they've actually gone back and updated it since then. So now the little camera icon has a little Facebook icon on top of it. So it's not to be confused with whatever the native, you know, the stock camera app is. Oh, Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. Really?
I think that's exactly what I posted on Google Plus when I first saw that.
It's horrible. Like
word for word. It is horrible.
I tell you what, if the Facebook app itself was halfway decent, if it didn't just suck all the what fun is left out of that little service, then maybe I'd be okay with it. But the app,
you really need to know that your friend is like peeling a carrot and taking a bath or whatever. I mean, come on. Google Plus.
Well, I mean, I'll post that sort of thing on Google Plus, I guess. But the app is slow. It's crappy. It's crappy and slow.
When you see that next to the native camera app, it just comes across as really obnoxious.
Right, exactly.
What they're trying to do. Completely obvious.
We're a camera too. No, you're not.
Yeah, and it's going to confuse people, and they know it's going to confuse people, and that's why it's there, so they click the icon instead of the native camera, and they use Facebook instead of their normal camera.
Right, but here's
that's
what really...
That's the first thing I did when Phil handed it to me. He's like, take a picture. And I push that camera or the Facebook icon.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
But you can smoke a Windows phone now.
But here's my thing.
Well, yeah, that's what you can do, yeah.
You can't disable that app. You can't get rid of that icon.
Sure, you can.
Without uninstalling
it. Don't install the damn thing.
Well, yeah, right. Facebook, I hate you. Here's what's really frustrating is that the dude running all this for Facebook used to work for Google. So he knows exactly how to piss us off. I mean, I've met him. Well, you know, he knows exactly how to get away with this stuff and piss us off in the process, I guess. But
There are a few ex Google people at Facebook, you know, at lots of different levels.
Right. Well, I've met Eric Tsang. I've met the top one, and that's what's not that my meeting him should change the way Facebook does anything, but it's disappointing. Is all.
Maybe though, a lot of people consider that a feature. Has there been some sort of huge public backlash that I haven't heard about? I
don't know. You're not even on Facebook.
Not so much.
I don't know.
Is the fact that it's so obvious what the goal is with that?
It's crap.
Draw people into their camera app at the expense of just taking a picture and not necessarily being drawn into another service.
Right.
Gotcha.
It's not good. So that's that. Anything else you guys want to talk about? The Optimus Elite and LG Viper and Galaxy Nexus are all on Sprint, but we knew all that. Only one of those three you're probably going to buy. If you're listening to this podcast, that is. Hey, we're giving away a Galaxy Nexus, by the way. Did I mention that?
And a couple tablets.
And a couple tablets, aren't we? That's right. With NVIDIA's giving away a couple tablets. So if you haven't, check out the contest forums. In the forums. Because that's where it's going down, right? What else? That's it.
I think we missed the chip, right?
Oh, the Samsung chip?
Yeah.
So they announced, their quad-core Exynos 4 quad, which will be in this new phone we'll see this week.
Yeah.
I don't have much else to say about it.
Can anyone explain to me? I think Alex wrote the article. So you wrote that, correct me if I'm wrong, but the 3 is going to have two types of chips. Depending on whether it's an LTE radio or not?
At least two types of chips, depending on this is what we've heard. This is what the Korea Times has been reporting as well, and we've heard it from reliable sources of our own that in the US and other territories, there's going to be an S4 version, and that's going to have LTE kind of in the same way that you have the HTC One X, the international version, and the HTC One X on AT&T with LTE. And it's pretty much the same thing as that.
Not a huge surprise.
No, really not
at all.
I mean, they did it with the Galaxy S2.
Yeah, and the Galaxy Note and a bunch of other devices. Yeah,
and everything that's
terrible battery life because you have to have a separate LTE chip.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because the new chip that you guys were talking about today, I mean, it sounds like it's going to get really good battery life because it's like putting each of one of the cores to sleep that it's not using, or one of the processors that not using at a time. I don't know.
Corey, which one's that?
Yes.
We're just not, even I, we're not nerdy enough.
I just read your article and I was like, that sounds good. That sounds pretty cool.
We need to make sure we point everybody at Kevin, though, because, we do have somebody that is
Kevin
nerdy
knows
enough.
Stuff.
In the forums, we've got a hardware forums in a Kevin lives and breathes for this kind of crap, guys. Go in there and talk all this stuff with him.
It makes my head hurt. People are like, what's the difference between these chips? I have no idea. I'll be completely honest.
All I saw was 20% better battery life. And I was like, that sounds good. I want it.
That's the bottom line, the kind of stuff we like.
And I tell you, that's the big thing I'm looking for between the Snapdragon and the Tegra 3 devices on HTC. It's like, I want to see battery life difference.
Yeah.
I don't care about, quarter millisecond of extra lag time, so that doesn't bother me. I'm fine with that. And especially because if you're not using them side by side, you're never going to notice. But battery life is a place where you will notice. So that's what I'm really looking forward to testing out.
Oy. The Galaxy S3 is still Galaxy S3, regardless of whether it's Snapdragon, whether it's Exynos or whatever it is.
Right. Let's do some emails and voicemails. We'll get the hell out of here. I think it's been a good podcast. I don't want to spoil it. Anybody want to start?
I'll start.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Kenny writes in, with everybody switching over to LTE, does that mean that you'll be able to switch to a different carrier more easily as soon as LTE is standard across the board? You would think so. But
a rational person would say yes.
It's going to be just like a GSM regular 3G, 2G signal here in the States. And it's going to have different frequencies, and it's probably, at least for a while, not going to be interoperable. I assume one day we'll see like a pentaband LTE radio that just works everywhere. But by then, we may not even be using phones anymore. Yeah.
You can't even cross the border into Canada and have it work, right? There are differences everywhere. I guess
maybe difference, probably yep.
the right person.
Mm. AT&T, even more so in Europe and Asia. Verizon are all different. And yeah, Alex, what about Germany has an LTE network up, or they have more than one?
Yeah, I mean, in Europe, it's kind of standardized to 800 and 2600. But even then, you know, you go outside of Europe and there aren't many countries using those yep. frequencies. So
it's a mess.
Yes.
Yep.
Zach writes, "Hey guys, I'm glad that Google Drive was finally released and I already switched from Dropbox, but I saw a post about Google's terms of service for Google Drive and I was surprised. You basically give your stuff to Google to use. What is your opinion on the matter? I like Google and use most of their products, but this worries me." Again, if you're just tuning in, don't worry about it. It's standard stuff. That's the short version. Mickey, you feel better about it now?
I feel better about it now, yes.
Okay, good.
I gave them an Ubuntu virtual machine today. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but
steal it. I don't know.
Last email. Who wants it?
Michael writes, "Okay, so we know the HTC Incredible 4G is way down the pipeline, Big Red's version of the 1S. But will Verizon get its own version of the HTC 1X? Will it be the Thunderbolt HD, like how Sprint is getting the Evo 4G LTE?
I just think Verizon's going to stay away from that Thunderbolt name.
Yeah, I think it's that would be a bad marketing move if they didn't.
Yeah, we've had rumors today of a device maybe further down the line that's going to have a bigger screen or whatever, and that's always going to be the case, regardless of the carrier, regardless of the manufacturer.
Sure.
So
yeah, but I mean,
probably going to be something on Verizon later in the year that has a bigger screen and better everything, but. For the moment, on HTC and Verizon, that's your device.
If you didn't see it, BGR had one of those roadmaps. It's not actually a roadmap. I remember when roadmaps were actually pictures of roadmaps of devices, and now it's just rumors, but whatever. And a lot of it was just standard stuff that you would totally expect to see this year. You know, a Samsung device with a faster processor and bigger screen, blah, 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 whatever. The one that caught my eye is supposedly the Galaxy Note, kind of, I hate to say competitor, but a Galaxy Note type device from HTC. But again, here's my thing about that, and that totally makes sense, right? I expect to see either some sort of stylus-centric device, whether it's phone-sized, whether it's tablet-sized. HTC wouldn't have gone to all this trouble of making a stylus API and still promoting it. In fact, they were promoting it to us last week.
Right.
You know, if they didn't intend on doing anything else with it, if all they were going to do were these early Gingerbread tablets and one ICS Honeycomb tablet that nobody bought because AT&T made it too expensive, and that's it. There's more coming, I guarantee you. And they didn't show us anything, but I guarantee you there's more coming.
Not necessarily with those specs.
But right.
Let's be honest. Some of the specs that we heard today were pretty ridiculous, like 1080p screens and all that stuff.
Which we've heard for the Galaxy S3 before.
That's a lot of crap as well.
Yeah. So those are the emails. Hey, I tell you, we got a whole bunch of emails over the past couple weeks, and we just can't get to them all. And I completely apologize for that. But if you have questions, the other great place to ask, go in the forums, because the forums are on fire these days. And in fact, you're going to get an answer so much quicker, too. You know, please send them into the podcast, too. But if you don't get answered there, ask your question in the forums as well. That is a really good thing. All right, so let's go to the voicemails. And how about we start with DWR31?
This is DWR_31 from the forums. And my question is for Phil or Jerry. I have an Evo 3D. I'm really looking forward to ice cream sandwich, but I really would like to enjoy some of that LTE goodness. But right now, I'm weighing the pros and the cons, and is Sense 3.6 going to be sufficient for another year over Sense 4.0? I don't necessarily need LTE. I don't necessarily need NFC. I have interchangeable batteries with the 3D. Yes, I have the storage space, so those things aren't problems. For the most part, just I'm hanging on the gate about the Sense 3.6 or the Sense 4.0. I really would love to hear your thoughts on that and some of the pros and cons between the two. Thanks, guys. Love you. I'm going to stick with you.
Where else were you going, dude? I mean, look, Sense 4 is badass. Sense 3.6 is not horrible, right? It's a nice kind of intermediate step.
No, people love it on the Vivid.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, it sounds like you want to hang on to your 3D. So I would,
that's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you can hang on that phone and get more use out of it, you're getting more money out of it.
That's right. If you like it, latch on to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still got phones. I still use the Nexus One from time to time or the old Wildfire. If you like it, use it until it breaks.
You're probably stepping on one right now.
No, I took a push broom and.
All right, let's do Damien now.
G'day, guys. My name's Damien from Melbourne, Australia. Good old land down under. Huge fan of your show. Jerry, you're a top bloke. Love your honesty. Great work. And that beard it's bloody gross. Anyway, got a question for you. Traveling overseas and my iPad just doesn't cut it. I need micro SD card access. So just after a cheap tablet, Android tablet, hopefully running Ice Cream Sandwich if I can, obviously. Wi-Fi is fine, don't need 3G. So just after recommendations, should I go for an L cheapo Chinese unit or something like a Nook Color? And hack that. Listen, look forward to your recommendations. Want to spend sort of sub $200, even though our Aussie dollar is better than yours at the moment, which is great for a change. Anyway, guys, as I said, love your work, huge fan. Keep up the good work, look forward to hearing your responses. Thanks, guys. Catch you later. Cheers.
I would stick to brand names.
I don't think that it'll hit the $200 price point, but Huawei is supposed to have a really nice ice cream sandwich 7-inch tablet either out now or out very soon.
Mm-hmm. Or the new Samsung stuff,
$250. Yeah, I was going to say the Tab 2 7.0 is $250.
Yeah.
ICS dual
because,
core,
I mean,
very nice.
We look at some of those, we call them craplets. You know, we look at some of them because we get questions about them, and Phil usually sends them to me while he laughs under his breath.
I've got one that's been sitting here for 2 months that I haven't touched because it's just
they're just bad. I mean, they're great to buy for your kids to keep them quiet in the back seat, but if you need a tablet and try to, you know, be productive in any way or shape or form, just pass on those, man.
Yeah.
Just pass.
Mm, yeah.
Don't do it. Just don't do it. All right, one last voicemail from a name you might know here in the chat and on the forums. Blackman X, the Mobile Panda.
Hey, Phil, Jerry, guys. Blackman X, I have a question. Well, kind of a topic I want you guys to cover. With Nintendo posting the other day, you know, losses in the mobile space from the DS and the 3DS, and mobile gaming on handhelds and tablets actually exploding, it just seems like the market is going to be dominated continually by iOS, with Android getting titles at a later time or ports from iOS titles and all that. When do you think Android's actually going to step up into some major gaming cred? We've had the Sony Xperia Play and, you know, the Sony PlayStation branded devices, but it's been a limited success just due to the fact that Sony really isn't a major player in the market. So I'd be interested to hear you guys' thoughts or, you know, maybe have some suggestions, some advice. Talk to you later. Bye.
I think it's less about Sony being not a major player, but the fact that iOS is a whole lot of devices on one platform. You know what I mean? Whereas Android is a whole lot of versions of the same platform. I mean, look, ask any iOS developer, and it's easier to come up with iOS apps than it is Android, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's no secret at all. And I think that's a big part of it.
What, 2 years longer?
Right.
You know, it's – yeah, and there is I just reviewed one this morning in a – it's called Dark Meadow, and it's from Phosphor Games. And the Android version just frankly beats the hell out of the iOS version, but it's only that way because of Tegra 3 and NVIDIA's involvement. I love that because I have a Tegra 3. I love to play these games. It's fun as hell, and they're really, really good. But that kind of is not helping, you know, buffer up Android itself. You know, NVIDIA is doing great, pushing their stuff. But, you know, the guy with the Galaxy Nexus wants to play these games too. So I don't know what it's going to take.
There's a game on that I hadn't seen before on the T-Mobile 1S called Where's My Water, I guess. It's a Disney game.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't seen it before. Yep. And it's actually a very fun game. So I hadn't played it before.
Yeah.
And I played it on the 1S, and it's slow as hell on the 1. Like, it's slow to load. Once it loads, it's fine. But the levels are slow to load. So I've been playing it on the iPad with my wife and kid, and they love it. And it's night and day how much slower it is on that. I need to fire it up on the Galaxy Tab 10.1 and see. But I'm willing to bet it's going to be slow there, too. And that's tough. That's not good. That's not a good experience. Now, I have the luxury of being able to use it on both platforms. But that's not to say there aren't good games. Will Android be able to step it up as a gaming platform? I tell you who's doing and Jerry brought up Dark Meadows, who's doing more to increase gaming popularity on Android than anybody is NVIDIA. Right, because NVIDIA is powering a lot of this stuff and Tegra 3.
And NVIDIA has the contacts from its PC gaming stuff as well.
Well, and moreover, NVIDIA is spending just a buttload of money promoting this stuff. I mean, look, anytime, I don't think it's any secret, anytime there's a new big game release, they're giving away tablets on blogs, right? We're giving one away. So, I mean, they're putting a lot of marketing dollars behind this, and that's a big thing.
And maybe you could argue Google needs to be doing the same thing if it wants its platform to take off in gaming the same way that iOS has done.
Yes, that's basically where I was leading.
It needs to be the platform owner, if you like, doing that, not necessarily just a hardware partner.
Right. You know, NVIDIA does a great job, but it's only for NVIDIA stuff.
Right.
And that's understandable. But, you know, there's this little company in Mountain View that could push this a little bit, and it'd be nice to see.
Or why the hell isn't Qualcomm doing this?
Well, you have
the same. It's like Alex said.
It's the same situation as NVIDIA at best. If they do that, it's not bringing it to the entire ecosystem.
True.
And for NVIDIA, this is just let's take what we know that works for PC gaming, and we made our fortune in it, and let's move that to Android. Qualcomm doesn't have a huge library.
To be fair to them, it's working pretty well, but it's not going to. Yeah.
I've got meetings set up for a couple weeks in New Orleans, so I'll ask them. That will be a good question for them. And that, boys and girls. Damn it. We're so close to a clean ending. Clean break. That's it. We're done.
Part of it is the number of tablets out there. A lot of iOS gaming is on tablets, and Google just doesn't have that many Android tablets out there to incentivize developers to create things for them.
True.
That was my final point.
And that, boys and girls, is that. So, hey, by the way, if you haven't noticed, we redesigned the site a little bit this week. Things look a little different. A little better, I think. You know, we're still tweaking things. It'll get even better. We're not done yet by any stretch of the imagination. And this is just, you know, front-facing stuff. We got a lot of cool back-end stuff we're still working on. So there's that. The forums are rocking and rolling and look beautiful. If you're not following us on Twitter and Google+, you're missing out. What else? What am I forgetting? So here's the deal. Next week, I'll be in London with Alex on Thursday night. So we're going to try to podcast. Keep an eye on the blogs and Twitter and stuff, and we'll let you know. If we have to skip it, we'll skip it. The week after that is CTIA. So we will definitely be doing probably a couple podcasts at least. I will be there along with Andrew Vaca and Jared DePayne. And we will have a fine old time. And that's it. So, Mickey, take us home.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us email to podcast@androidcentral.com or send your voicemails 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222. You can leave them there. You can also follow all of us on Twitter. The site is at Android Central. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at TCPJ underscore Mickey. Jerry is at GB Hill. Corey is at C Streeter. And Alex is at Alex Dobie. The entire site, and of course the show, brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can also place your orders by calling 888-468-6158.
Hooray! Chat room, thank you,
you know,
guys.
We haven't said for a long time.
What's that?
This stick of pork in it.
Yeah. Stick a fork in it. Oh, see? Yeah, no, I'm done with stick a fork in it. It's too forced.
That and, the end of the day?
I had none.
You done with that?
Yeah, I'm done with the end of the day, too. I had an unfortunate fork accident a few months ago.
I ended up saying that like 50 times this week, and every time I said it, I was like, oh my gosh, I got that from Phil. Seriously. All
right, guys, we're done. We'll be back to you as soon as we possibly can be, so keep an ear out, and we'll let you know. See ya.
Later on.
Bye.
La la la. Oh, my throat. Ugh.